What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. On the show today, I'm super pumped to welcome back to the podcast, Brandy Mowles. Brandy was a guest back on the show on episode 298, which really wasn't that long ago. And that's not something I normally do, have somebody back on the show so close to when they were originally here. Now, back on episode 298, we talked about a couple different things with Brandy. We talked about how she has built a thriving Facebook ads business. And then within 6 months of creating that business, she went to a wait list for her services. So we broke all that down. We also talked about, and this is what we're going to be talking about more today, we talked about the beta launch that she had done for her new membership program, which is for service professionals who want to scale to consistent five-figure months. And in that beta launch, she launched it just to her email list of 478 people, half of which weren't even her ideal students for the program. And she got 23 members for the beta launch. So pretty much 10% of the people that were her ideal students within her email list. Well, I asked her to come back on the podcast today because since she was last on, she publicly launched her membership and she did over $41,000 in revenue with a launch list of just 503 people. That's awesome. If you're doing the calculation, that's an earnings per lead. So the amount of revenue divided by the number of people in your launch, that's an EPL of $83, which is awesome. And so today she's going to walk you through how she did this launch, including her strategy, her ads, and a whole lot more. Now, Brandy is one of my 6 month accelerator mastermind members, and she's just crushing it in her business. She goes about things the right way, and she's got the best attitude, all characteristics of what I look for in my accelerator mastermind. And so speaking of my 6 month accelerator mastermind, out of the 15 spots, there are still a few spots open for my next accelerator mastermind group, which runs from October 2019 through March 2020. So if you're an online expert, in other words, you're an online educator, you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, this is your opportunity to inject coaching, support, and accountability to finish off the year, finish off 2019, and also to roll into 2020 with some big time momentum. Okay. If you've already achieved a certain level of success in your online expert business, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level, which might be six figures, it might be multiple six figures or even seven figures, you very likely do not need another course or to read more books. So if you're ready for coaching, support, and accountability in taking your online expert business to the next level, then my 6 month accelerator mastermind may be for you. To learn more and to schedule your free strategy session with me to find out if you might be a fit for the next 6 month accelerator mastermind, which again kicks off in October, just go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, let's dive into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mulready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what is up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast, The Art of Paid Traffic. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Super appreciate you, whatever you're up to right now. Hope all is going well. I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to help online experts grow and scale your business so that you can reach and help more people, so that you can amplify your impact in the world. And when you do all those things, my friends, Not only do you get to increase your revenue, but you and your audience get to have better lives. And so if you're a listener of the show here, you may remember that back on episode 298, Brandy Miles was my guest, and she is a Facebook ads manager. She also runs a membership program for service professionals who want consistent five-figure months. And in that episode, in episode 298, we broke down her business and also how she's built it so successfully so fast. And one of the things that we talked about was a super successful beta launch that she had just done for her membership program. Well, she recently launched that same program publicly, and it was a huge success. Although she'll tell you that it could have been a lot better. We always do that, right? We have a really successful launch and it was like, it could have been better. Well, it could always be better, right? And so she did over $41,000 in this launch to a launch list of just 503 people. And so that's exactly why I wanted to have her on the podcast here today, so soon after she was on so recently. And so today you're going to hear the step-by-step breakdown of her launch and how she did so well generating over $40,000 with a launch list of just 503 people. And so she talks about the launch, her strategy, her ads, her email sequence, and the three-part video series that worked so well for her. Okay. Now, she did fall short of her goal to get 1,000 webinar registrants, but she still got 503, and her average cost per lead was about $4. Brandy thought the $4 CPL was too high, but obviously at a 503 people and $41,000 in revenue, that is an earnings per lead of over $80. That's amazing, right? And so we're going to dive into the whole thing today. We're going to dive into her mindset going through the launch, how she prioritize things in the launch and how I kind of coached her through that. What made the launch so successful on such a small list? We talk about the lessons that she learned. We talked about how she was falling into perfectionism. We dive into a whole lot of things here with Brandy today to break down this most recent public launch that was so successful. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Brandy Miles. Brandy, welcome back to the podcast. How you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you back on because when you were on previously, you were on episode number 298. And guys, if you've not heard the last episode that Brandy was on, episode 298, small list, no problem from zero to wait list in 6 months. And I got incredible feedback. I got more feedback about that episode. You have a very strong following. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I got blown up in a good way on Instagram with messages from people saying how much they loved hearing your story. And so guys, if you've not heard that episode, definitely go check it out. Episode 298, small list, no problem from zero to wait list in 6 months. And essentially what we did in that episode there is broke down Brandy's business. So it's two-part business, Facebook ads manager, and she's had a wait list forever for her Facebook ads management services. And also, by the way, she serves online experts. So people doing webinars and so forth, she's a master with Facebook ads with that. And then also, she also has a membership program where she serves, I'm going to let you describe it, Brandy, but service providers, basically teaches them how to get to six figures in their business without having to grow a big team, et cetera. And what we did in that episode is broke down each side of the business. And on the membership side, the online service provider side, you had just done a beta launch. And so we broke that down. Now, since the episode, and why I want to have you back on the podcast here, is that you did a public launch. You did your first public launch for the membership program and absolutely crushed it. And your list wasn't that big. You didn't have a ton of people, you know, in the launch itself, but you had amazing results. So I wanted to have you back on and let's break that down. So for everybody who has not listened to that episode or maybe listened to it a little while ago and doesn't remember exactly who you are, I've just given a brief bio of you, but why don't you break it down, let people know who you are, what you do now, and where you've kind of built the business from.
Right. So I am a mom, I'm a wife, and I am a business owner. And so like Rick said, I have two sides of my business. The big one is my Facebook ad business, but my real passion is with my membership, and that is helping online service-based entrepreneurs. So VAs, social media managers, Facebook ad managers, anyone who's serving online remotely, how to scale to consistent $10,000 months without hiring a team. And so I think that's the big thing that sets me apart is I'm not saying you need to go hire everyone under the sun. I believe the fastest way to get to six figures is as a service provider instead of courses and agencies and all of that jazz.
So how does somebody get started? We'll start the conversation there. You just said that you feel like that's the fastest way to six figures. Where do they get started with that? Are they already doing some sort of service for other people? Or is it like you're taking them from like, you know what, I want to have this kind of business and you're going to show them how to do it, getting to six figures without building a team, because they think that a lot of people think that that's, you know, like, holy cow, how the heck am I going to do that? Or maybe it's, and are you helping people who already kind of have an existing business, but aren't really making it work as well as it probably should be?
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
So I started my membership thinking like, this is a way for people who already have an online service-based business scale. Now my membership, of course, you get all kinds of people in. So I have people who are just starting out, and then I have people who already have an existing business, but they're like stuck at that 1 to 2 clients. They're stressed out. They're working all the time. They're charging hourly rates. They don't know how to price their services. They don't know how to do discovery calls. So initially I was like, this is for people who already have a business, because I'm not teaching you how to like set up your business. I'm not teaching you any of that. But what I'm finding is, even if you don't have a service-based business and you want to get started, what I teach, it's just creating a really strong foundation for growth. And it's not doing everything that everyone's telling you to do. It's complete opposite. So even if you don't already have a business, you definitely definitely can come in and have success right away, which is nice. But how it was intended was for people who are just stuck at that. They just can't get past it. And then I found that I have people that are making $1,000 a month, and I have people that are like at that 8,000 and they just can't hit 10. And since being in the membership, even for 30 days, they've been able to do that just with a few tweaks in their business.
What are some of those tweaks there? Because because when I think about that, I'm like, you're at 8,000, you know, this sounds, I mean, it's like, what's another 2,000, right, to get to that. But that's so true. And I see it more so from like, from people that I'm working with in the Accelerator Mastermind, for example. It's like they're at, you know, 60 or 70,000, but they can't break past that six figure mark, or maybe they're at 100,000 and they're having, you know, a challenge getting to that 200,000 or so forth. And I think it's a very fine line. It's just like what you're saying, it's like, it's right there. They're just not doing, or could be doing maybe one or two more things to get to that point. What do you see from most people who are at that level? They're just like, ugh, I can't get quite over the hump. What's holding them back, you think?
The big thing is they're trying to do too much. They're trying to offer too many services. They're trying to be on Instagram. They're trying to be on Facebook. They're trying to be on YouTube. And the cool thing about being a service provider is you don't need any of that. Like, none of that really matters. And so, I mean, at a certain point it does, but getting to $10,000 months, you don't have to have a big following on any. People don't really care. And if I'm running their ads, they could care less how many people follow me on Instagram. And yep. So a lot of times they're just spending their time where they don't need to be, but then they don't have the systems to support growth without hiring a team. So just like a few simple tweaks in their back end, like how their contracts are ran, how their invoices are ran, creating simple systems instead of having like systems for everything and running all the free programs, like just having 2 to 3 programs that run your whole business.
Yeah, I love it. Simpler the better. And I mean, I see it on the bigger scale too, where, you know, it's like, I'm trying to do, and I did this as well. I did this a couple of years ago. One of the biggest frustrations for me was like, I was trying to serve everybody, right? And I had a program for this, and I had a program for this audience, and I was doing this over here. And I was like, not only was I, everything was suffering because of it, because we think that more is better, when in reality, as you're talking about right now, Brandy, is that simpler the better. The quicker that you can simplify, that's when your revenue is going to grow, because you're not jumping from this to this to this and shiny object and all that other stuff. So when you were on previously, we talked about your beta launch, and I want to kind of recap that first before we get into the public launch that you did. And so you did your beta launch. You did that earlier this year, earlier in 2019, right?
It was May. So mid-May of 2019.
Cool. And so we're recording this right now in the first week of August. So not that far after the beta launch. And you launched only to your email list of 478 people. So not a ton of people. And then you mentioned during that episode that half of those people weren't even your ideal students for the program. So let's call it 250 people or so. And you got 23 members into your beta program. So pretty much 10% of the people on your email list who were your target audience for this, which is amazing. And we broke down that launch, but, you know, share a little bit more about that launch and what you feel like worked really well and what didn't work well that you did differently in this launch that we're going to talk about, the first public launch.
Yeah. So that one was like guerrilla, like marketing. That was sending everyone messages that had ever asked for help, saying, hey, I actually think this would be a great membership for you. It's going to be super cheap compared to what it is when I launch. You told me to launch it. And so I did. And I've been part of, everyone thinks that I know how to do a launch because I run ads for launches, and I didn't. I still am learning. And so it was kind of like, okay, one email sent, and then let me go message everyone. And I did one Facebook Live, and that was it. And that's how I got it. So there was no real strategy. I just knew there had to be an open and close time. And then I was just trying to get those spots filled.
So you bring up something really, and so, all right. So actually before I go there, so you got 23 members in, it was a greatly discounted offer to get them in there. You asked them for feedback, right, as they were going through, because your ultimate goal was obviously this was a beta launch, so that you wanted to launch it publicly. You took their feedback. Did you make tweaks before you you know, not only to what you were doing and how you launched it, but to the content itself. Did that change at all in how you delivered the content, what you were delivering to them based on the feedback for when you launched it publicly?
So before launching, I had like mapped out the steps I had done to get to six figures. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing that other people aren't doing. And so these are the five things that have to be in here, the four things that have to be in here. But then my messaging, because I did have a sales page for it, but my messaging was a little off from the feedback. The things that I thought they were struggling with were not what they were struggling with. And so it really helped with the messaging, because I was able to really get my webinar, the mistakes and everything. I was able to ask, okay, here's the mistakes I'm thinking, which resonate with you the most? And they were able to give me feedback, but the content was being created like as that beta went on for 30 days. And I think like the night of the webinar, my first webinar before doors open, like the last module went into the program. So it was like last minute, but it was great because I was the content didn't really change. I knew what I wanted to focus on, but my messaging changed. Mm-hmm. And then also for the webinar, I mean, they pretty much wrote it for me by just me saying, hey, here's what I'm thinking. What are your thoughts? And they picked what resonated with them the most. And then they gave me a ton of testimonials, which helped. Like that was huge. So it was just having them in there and just really getting the feedback and loving on them. Like I loved on them a lot for those 30 days.
Yeah. I love that because we can have the best offer. We can have a great strategy for selling, you know, our sales mechanism, as I like to say. So whether it's a webinar, you know, a video, whatever it might be, but when our messaging is off, and I see this so much, that's when our sales really suffer because we're not hitting on those points that our target audience is struggling with. And the messaging is off and there's a disconnect and then we don't make the sales that we want to make, right? And so I love that you did that. Like, I love that you went through the beta process and learned from them. You said you loved on them and you got their feedback and you got their testimonials so that you can use them for the live launch. Did you have a process for the testimonials, like how you got them? Or were you just like, hey guys, I'd love to, you know, how did you ask them?
Yeah. So we do a weekly email that goes out to them. So they got it in the email. And then I just posted in the Facebook group. I was like, you know, I'm getting ready to launch. I would love testimonials. I really want video ones. So if you send me a video one, I'll send you an Amazon gift card. If you send me a written one, that's okay too. But I really want those video ones. And I think everyone except for one person sent them in. So, I mean, I have so many and they were so good. And it was like awesome to watch because it showed that not only was I building a membership, which is I wanted to help who I thought I wanted to help has changed a little bit, but it was like, wow, they're actually seeing results. This is making a bigger impact. Mm-hmm. And that got me excited because I was like, I'm actually changing the lives of other families. And that's what I wanted because I can only do that with so much with Facebook ads.
Yeah. I mean, it just puts things in perspective and validates what you think you can do. And you have such an amazing mindset anyway. And then you're like, holy cow, this is actually working. I'm really truly having an impact on these people that I want to be helping here in the membership. And this is proof. Like they're telling me what impact you're having on them. And to get what sounds like 22-ish of 23 testimonials, that's on video, that's amazing. And so I want to go back to the statement that you made. So obviously the beta was a success. That's in May. So June, July, and you did this in July. So 2 months later, you launched publicly. Now you are a rock star when it comes to running ads for launches, just like you do for your own business, but you hadn't done it like really full on, meaning a webinar and all that stuff. And you mentioned before, you're like, this is a whole different story when I'm doing it myself for my own business. What was different for you? What were some of the things you were like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Or like, oh, I need to do this. Like, what was that like for you?
Well, I think the first thing is I was like, oh, this is why people hire me even when they know how to do ads. Because I was like, holy cow, managing this whole launch is like an animal. Because I did do a full on launch. Like this was not like shortcuts or anything. This was a full on launch. And so I think the big thing is, since I'm involved in so many launches, I got to pull from, okay, I liked what this person does. I saw that this worked for them. I saw this worked for them. And not even just from an ads point, but I knew that my clients that use messenger bots, that their show up rate was greater. So I knew that I needed to do that. And then knowing like the email sequence like that, I had to send all those emails on the last day. Like that was so important, no matter how much I didn't want to do it. And then just also having feedback from the accelerator group, because we struggled with this. I didn't want to do the videos, and making that compromise of going on and pre-recording them and releasing them over 3 days. And I got so much feedback that that's what sealed the deal for them leading up to the webinar. And that's why they showed up to the webinar. Mm-hmm. So it was just getting feedback from everyone, but then being involved in so many launches, just pulling things I liked and things I didn't like. And that was the big thing on the webinar. I knew I did not want it to go over an hour, and I did not want people to have to wait till the end to ask questions, because I hate webinars like that. So mine was super interactive. It was all three of them ended up being an hour and 10 minutes on the dot. Like 70 minutes on the dot for all three of them. So those were the big things that I wanted. And then as we talked, I mean, just making the things that I thought were important needed to come last, and so, they didn't have to be perfect.
Okay. So much to unpack there. So I want to take a quick note here, because I want to make sure that like the perfect part, the, you know, the order in which you were doing things, I'm just taking it, literally taking a note right now on my Google Doc, because I want to make sure we hit these. But I want to go back to what you said. Like, I did a full on launch. So what did that mean for you? Because the beta launch was very different. What did this launch look like for you?
This was big time. I mean, like not big time ads, but I had a significant ad budget. I had sales page, a ton of emails, three videos leading up to a full on webinar. There was the follow-up sequence. There was testimonials, changing the Facebook business page banner, like even down to that kind of stuff, messenger bots. Like I had the whole shebang.
I love it. I love it. And so you mentioned the videos leading up to the webinar. Now I remember on one of our accelerator calls, you brought this up. You're like, I don't really feel like I have so much going on. Like I have the ad management side of the business, so that I'm super busy over here. I'm running this launch basically by yourself and running your own ads for it. You're like, holy cow, this is a lot of stuff. And you were getting in the, you were getting ready to move several states away. So you had a lot going on. You got feedback though, like, no, you should really do these videos, and you don't have to go to the extent with the videos that you were thinking about doing, meaning like just do quick, you know, make it super simple, pre-record them and then release them. So what did that look like for you? Originally, what were you thinking they needed to be that was quite overwhelming for you? And what did they ultimately end up being for you?
So I was thinking, I knew I wasn't going to do like the whole like fancy recording type deal that takes a production team, but I was going to do Facebook Lives, but then trying to think about time, like between discovery calls and client calls and my daughter and all this, I was like, I don't even know when I'm going to be able to schedule, like actually commit to a time. And so the feedback was, how about you pre-record them? And I was like, okay, I could do that today. Like I can do that. So I was thinking about what the topic should be, and my webinar gets down to the end, and it's the four part framework. And it talks about the four things in my membership. And so I was like, okay, everything needs to be related to fours. So they lead up. So the first one was an 8 minute video on the four things I tracked leading up to a 6-figure month. The next thing was the four tools, the only four tools I use in my business. And then the next one was the four lessons I learned scaling to 6 figures. And then that led into my webinar.
And you did, how many videos was it?
So it was three videos pre-recorded. Okay. They were all under 8 minutes. Yeah. They were just in Kajabi. They could send the link. They got emails each day for them. And then they got a messenger bot message too. And so I had, I mean, the watch rates were insane for those.
So the videos you released over like the week leading up to the webinar.
So it was the Thursday, Friday, and then I skipped Saturday. I did Sunday, and then my first webinar was Tuesday.
Gotcha. Okay. And the whole reason for doing these videos was?
just to show them a little bit about me, like show them my teaching style, show them like what I'm all about. Cause it is different. I mean, telling people you can grow a six-figure business without a team is just going against what a lot of people are saying. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that I had to give them a taste of what I was doing. And I think just to grow some credibility, because I feel like when we get into course creation, it is different. Like you do have to have like the following sometimes, and you have to have this. And I didn't necessarily have that. I didn't have a large email list. So I just wanted to show them like, here's me, here's how I am, and get a feel of that.
What was your show up rate?
So they were, I mean, it was the click through on my emails were in the 60 and 70% like open rate. The click throughs were like 25, 30%. The messenger bot was 95% open. The click through on those were insane. It was almost the same as, so those videos were really, really powerful. And I remember going in the group being like, thank you for making me do this. Like they were worth it. And so, yeah, but it needed to feel right to me. And I don't think I would have been able to give the same in a live, because I would have felt like it needed to be longer and it needed to be at the same time. And so this really worked for what I needed.
Do you know how it affected your show up rates?
I mean, I have a survey for people who purchase. And one of the questions was in the survey once they join is, did you watch all three of the videos? Yep. And every single one of them said yes.
The people who purchased?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know how it affected my show up rates, but I do know.
Well, it affected purchasing, people purchasing, which is what you ultimately like. That's the most important thing. So I love it. So that's what you did to help get people there. You'd never built a webinar before. You'd never done your own webinar before. And so what was that process like for you? You did that fairly quickly, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So I signed up for a training that taught you how to do an evergreen webinar, but I needed to tweak it for live. I mean, it's the same thing pretty much. Yeah. I had watched enough live webinars and knew how to do the live part, but this was the webinar. Yes. The same regardless. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I took some pieces. I kind of like just pieced everything together. I took things I liked from that training. I took things I liked from other trainings. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my big thing is I just needed it to be like an hour and really interactive. And then I was super nervous. I mean, like thought I was going to throw up nervous getting on these. And I don't know why, because that's not typically how I am. Yeah. But then it was just like feeding off the energy. I did like look at the chat a lot and that just fueled me. So I feel like my webinar had really good energy and people were just, I mean, they stayed on the whole time.
That's awesome. Now, how many people did you have registered for your webinars?
503, which was lower than I wanted.
What was your goal?
1,000. Okay. I thought I was going to get my leads a lot cheaper than I did.
So can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
So Brandy had kind of a little breakdown during this launch talking about, holy cow, my lead costs are higher than what I get from my clients. And I was asking what our lead costs were. And I was like, I would take that all day long for my webinars. And so it just goes to show you like, well, what do you think? I mean, because you think it was the ad costs were a failure or not a failure, maybe, but like, maybe a missed opportunity. I would say they were really good. What are your thoughts on that?
I was expecting to pay between $2 and $2.50 a lead. And that was not the case. I was paying like $2.50 to $4.90. I'm looking at it a lead. So that was more than I expected. But then I had to like take a step back. My list is much smaller than most of my clients. So my lookalikes, they did not perform. My interest targeting actually performed the best. So my straight cold interest targeting performed the best. And so I just learned that I need to work on my email list growth, which I mean, we've talked about that was not a priority leading up to this, cause it's not something really you need as a service provider. Yep. And then also, I mean, my socials are small. It's just, I'm working from less than what I'm used to working with clients.
Yeah. And you're just starting out and realizing that. And I mean, I joked with Brandy during the launch was like, if you're getting a $4 lead or a $4.50 lead, I would take that all day long. And Brandy was like, wait, this is like double what I normally get from my clients. And so look, it happens, right? And Brandy understands like what the opportunity is for next time. Like, okay, cool. I need to build up my warm audiences. I need to keep growing my email list when I'm not launching. And not only is that going to give you better lookalike audiences and all that stuff, but Facebook prefers that. Facebook will reward you for that when you are list building on a consistent basis or running ads on a consistent basis. And then when you launch, you're very likely going to have better results because you're running ads on a consistent basis. The algorithm likes that, as opposed to, you know, bringing up your ad spend just during a launch and then shutting it down and then going up and down. Facebook likes that consistency in spend. And so you had 503 people registered. Your goal was 1,000, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to make this work. You obviously did make it work. You put the webinar together. I love that you took little bits and pieces from here and there, like what you liked, what you didn't like from what you've been learning, put it together. You were very firm on like, you know what? I want to make this on the shorter side. You had, if you're cool with talking about it, we don't have to get specific, but you got some feedback or you got a piece of feedback from one person that they weren't happy with the webinar. They felt like it wasn't what they were expecting. And those types of emails are always hard to get, right? We all get them. What was that like for you? Because again, this is like your first public launch here where you're going out to cold traffic and this person doesn't necessarily know who you are.
So one thing I think that helps is when you run Facebook ads, you know, people comment on Facebook ads for my clients all the time. And I'm like, hey, Facebook likes engagement. No, we're not going to delete it. Like, we leave it. It doesn't matter what it is. And so I was prepared for comments on my Facebook ads, which I got a few. But then I think we all have the fear of going into a webinar because we've been on those webinars that you can't take anything away. It's just a sales pitch the whole time. So I had worked really hard for my webinar not to be a sales pitch the whole time. I tell them like, you can take these key things that I'm going through and implement them today. So it was only one person. Yep. So my biggest concern was how do I respond in a way that isn't hateful? I didn't want to respond like that and isn't about what she said to me, but how can I help her? So I got feedback from the accelerator group. I sent her a ton of my free resources, tons of podcasts for her to pull things from. I even gave her access to the 3 video series that are packed with learning. So it was just one of those things I kind of knew going into it that there was probably going to be some feedback. I just figured it was on the ad side and not the email. And the email is very detailed and long. Like, and so I don't know who has time to do all that, but it's just part of it. It's just part of it.
Look, this stuff happens every time we're putting ourselves out there, whether it's an ad, whether it's a video, whether it's a webinar, whatever it is, we're going to get feedback from people that aren't happy with what we're doing. And number one, the most important thing is how we respond to it and not take it personally, because it's never a personal thing. It is always, it's that person. And I'm nothing negative about whoever does that. Like, it's just, they're coming from a place of whatever they're dealing with. It's a safety thing for them to be able to lash out at somebody else, right? Because they can hide behind the keyboard. And I love how you responded to that person. Just like, look, I want to be able to help that person. Here are a bunch of resources that can help you. And, you know, if they're right in what they're saying, that's a different story, right? Like you said that, like, I want to make sure that this webinar is not a big pitch fest, right? Like, I've known you for a long time now, and that's not you. And people will begin to learn that about you. It's like, that's not the type of person that you are. Like, you are delivering value. Like, you can take away from the webinar, like, what you learned and go do it and implement it and see results. If you want to take things further, you have a program for them to do that. And so for everybody listening, look, if you haven't already, you're going to get haters, if you will. And if you are getting them, it's never personal, right? It's all about how you respond to them. And it's never like, it can be very hard, right? We all do it. We all internalize it and we can all have a breakdown over it. Just don't let it ruin your day, right? And so, you know, I always like to say, you're making it, right? You made it when you start getting these comments from people that they have a problem with whatever. I want to go back to what you said before. I took notes on that because I want to make sure that we talked about it. Is Before we talk about you felt like everything needed to be perfect in launch. We talked about shortly before you got your ads going about the order and the priority in how you were prioritizing things to do in your launch, because you were doing pretty much everything yourself, from running your ads to building the webinar to the landing pages to the emails, all this stuff. And I like to prioritize getting things done in a launch based on the revenue impact. Like, what are the things that are going to have the biggest impact on revenue, such that if I don't get these other things done, I can still make the revenue. And so can you talk a little bit about that, sort of how you were thinking about it? And then after we talked through it, how did that sort of shift for you?
Yeah. So I think ads are super important. So that was the first thing. Those were done way ahead of time. And then my next thought, sales funnel, because that's what I used to do as well, is build sales funnel. And you were like, no, like your webinar is a sales page. Mm-hmm. So that went from second to last.
Or sales page. You said sales funnel, your sales page was the thing that you were working on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So sales page went last. And then I knew that the emails were really important. So those got bumped up, got all those done. And then the video series was next. The webinar had already been done, and then it was getting all that tech stuff. And then the bots were like last. That was like a last minute thing. I was like, and I was actually doing those on the fly. And the emails, even like scheduling them out, there's a lot of things that I will do different, because one email 24 hour notice didn't get sent out. Like it just got missed. And so the process now is better, but I was documenting everything as I went. So the big things that I prioritized were the ads, then the emails, the ones beforehand, the reminders, and then the value emails, and all those emails on the last day were next. And then it was like getting all the tech together, the webinar, I use Zoom, the registration page, that had to get up, and then the sales page went to the end, and then the bots were just on the fly.
And I want to kind of, I love that. And so guys, as you're listening to this, if you are doing a launch, whether it's a webinar, whether it's a video series, whatever it is, it can be really overwhelming, right? With all the things that we have to do. And so what we're talking about here is prioritizing the things to work on first, and then the next thing, and the next thing, with the filter of what's going to have the most revenue, what are the revenue impact. So one thing that Brandon was doing was like, all right, I need to do the ads, but I'm also now I need to get the sales page done. And I was like, well, let's take a step back here. We don't need a sales page, right? So you've got the webinar done. Awesome. I would have said, make sure your ads are good first. So we need, when we do our ads, like, okay, we need our ads. We need a landing page for the ads. We need to make sure the registration part is set up so that we can get people to the webinar. And then we need to make sure that the webinar is done, because that's our selling point and our adding value. And then from there, we want to make sure that our follow-up sequence is done, because again, that's the selling part too. If we don't get a sales page done, it's not the end of the world, right? Because we can send people to an order form, like directly to an order form if we needed to. Not, you know, maybe not ideal. Sometimes for some people it is, but it's just prioritizing things with all the things we need to do, prioritizing things in the order of impact on our revenue. What's going to allow us to make money from our launch here based on the things that we're doing in there and prioritizing it accordingly. And I love that. I'm so glad you brought the whole, you documented things. So this is sort of the pain in the butt part of like what we're doing, right? Because it slows you down. It's like, oh, I have to document how I put together this landing page, or how I put together the webinar, or the email process, or how to set these emails up in ConvertKit, whatever it might be. When we can document it, it slows us down. But then the next time you launch, you can have somebody else help you with it. And if you wanted to, and that way you've documented it and they can just follow along what you did. And so guys, for everybody listening, I want to encourage you to be documenting everything you're doing in your business, whether it's how you respond to emails, how you, you know, a launch plan, how you do a webinar, how you do at whatever it might be. You want to be documenting everything step by step. Just record your screen with Loom. It's free. And then at least you have that documentation. Now, I want to start to wrap up here, Brandon, but you mentioned earlier again about the perfection. You felt like everything needed to be perfect in the launch. And if it, you know, if it wasn't, it was like, is this going to be successful or not? Can you talk a little bit about that?
I said I knew that it didn't have to be perfect. Oh,
you knew that it didn't have to be perfect.
I knew it because I heard that when I first started my business, Brooke Castile was on Amy Porterfield's podcast. I think this was actually the first podcast I'd ever listened to. And she said that B minus work was better than no work done at all. And I've like seriously carried that through my entire business. I get emails all the time like, oh, you have a spelling error on your website. And I'm like, I really don't care. Like, I'm still making money. Like, I don't care about the spelling error. So it's
I've never understood that from people.
I know.
Like, I misspelled this. Like, okay, thanks. But...
Yeah. So it was, I just knew everything didn't have to be perfect. There were things that I did want, like I wanted my webinar to be really, really good.
Yeah.
But even the emails, like they probably could have been better. I went back and tweaked my sales. I mean, my sales page was thrown up. Like it was, yeah, it was rough. I mean, it wasn't like for me, it was rough. Most people would probably say it was fine, but I went back afterwards and like fixed it. So now for the next launch, it's done. But there was just, I mean, like I said, emails went out when they weren't supposed to. I had one bot message. I learned that it's done on military time. So I had one message go out at 3 a.m. in the morning to everyone. So it was just stuff like that. I mean, it was fun. It was a learning lesson. And now next time it will be better. But I went in knowing that this was not going to be perfect.
So with that, what were your results from the launch? Because you did extremely well with it.
So my total revenue was $41,789.
$41,789.
Yes.
Total revenue. And that is 503 people that were in your
that
launch.
Registered. Yep.
Yeah. And so we calculated this before starting here. And that means your earnings per lead, so your EPL, which is total revenue from the launch divided by the number of people that are registered for the launch. So 41,789 divided by 503, because you had 503 people registered, is an $83 earning per lead. Super high, like really, really good. So guys, for everybody who hasn't heard the term EPL, I've talked about it here on the show before. Earnings per lead is really important to know, because the next time Brandy launches, for example, she knows that during this launch, when she does it again, she knows that the last time she launched, she got an $83 earning per lead. And her average cost per lead that she was getting was between $2.90 and $5. So she was paying, let's just call it $4 per lead. But for every lead that she was getting, she was earning $83. So the gap between that $4 and $83 is massive. And so what the earnings per lead is telling you is that if she needed to, she could spend up to $83 a lead, which she would never do, which we would not do, up to that point, before losing money, right? And so everybody always wants to know, well, how much should I spend on my ads? Well, knowing what your earnings per lead is helps you answer that question. Because if you know, like, well, why wouldn't you? If you know, and of course, next time she launches, she's not guaranteed an $83 earning per lead, but at least she knows what that was from the previous launch. And so she's like, all right, I'm getting a $5 cost per lead. Cool, game on, keep spending here. Right. And so knowing what that earning per lead is really, really important. And an $83 earning per lead, super high, super high. So what's next for you with the launch? And I know that earlier on, right after you joined the mastermind, you're like, I want to evergreen this right away. Like, okay, cool. Let's launch it live first. And before we do that, and the reason we do that is because you want to work out the kinks and all that stuff before you go evergreening. What's next for you? Obviously, this really worked for you. That's two launches now, one beta that was super successful, now one public launch that was super successful. What's next for you?
So I like launches. Like, it kind of is horrible while you're in it, but then you get through it and it's kind of great. So I'm definitely live launching again in October. And then my goal is probably to go down to two live launches a year, but I don't want people to have to wait 6 months if they're just finding me. So my goal is by September 1st to have an evergreen funnel, just where if you just found me, you can have 5 days to get in to the membership if you want, but then it's closed off to you until the launch again. Just doesn't penalize people who want to start scaling their business and they're just finding me. So I think that's a good happy medium of still live launching, but then having something running in the background too.
Yeah. And then you are, we talked a little bit about that, if it's okay to talk about. We talked about your interest in introducing affiliates to your next launch in October. And, you know, one of the questions around that was, is like, what does this process look like? Do I open it up to, because you've had a lot of people be interested in promoting for you. But, you know, one thing that we've talked about is like, if you run an affiliate launch, that's a whole different ball game, right? You really need, if you don't have an affiliate manager, somebody managing the whole affiliate aspect of your launch, you as the business owner, you become like, that's your job, right? You, like your job becomes, do my affiliates have everything that they need? Or I should say, and ensuring that they are good with anything that they need, that's your responsibility. So when we're doing everything in the launch, plus that, it opens up a lot of other, a lot of, you know, obviously opportunities, but also some challenges as well. And so, you know, what Brandy and I have talked about is just starting with the people that she knows, who she's friends with, has good relationships with, and a very small group, and starting out that way. So again, starting small, learning from it, documenting the process, what that's like. And again, like just like Brandy has done so well, is like, all right, this worked really well. This didn't quite work so well. Let me fix this for next time and keep moving forward. Anything else about that?
I think just once again, I like to pull different things. I love affiliate marketing. I've done a lot of affiliate marketing in my business. So I have seen it done really well. I've seen ones that I didn't promote because it wasn't. So like just pulling from there, like little things, like one of them had a whole like thing in Teachable where affiliates logged in and everything they needed was in there. So I was like, oh, I can do this with Kajabi, like mm-hmm. just having their own portal and having the social media post and everything. So that's what I'm working on right now, is just asking three affiliates to be partnered up in October. And since everything else is done for the launch, I mean, I'm going to just, it went so well, I'm not going to really change anything with that. So it's all ready to go. Now, I guess the big thing I'll take on is affiliates.
Have you set a goal for that launch?
I have. It's 125,000 in revenue. Yeah.
Nice. And so 125K, and you set good, better, and best goals, mm-hmm. right? So we set like, all right, this is my good goal, quote unquote. If I hit this goal, you know, I'll be happy. My better goal, if I hit this, I'll be even more happy. And then my best goal, if I hit this, like your big reach goal. And so would you say 120K?
Yeah. So that's my best goal.
That's your best. Okay. And so we have to remember, right? It's not all about the result. I mean, of course we want to be making money, but it's also about, it's very much about the journey, right? Enjoying this process. Like, hey, we get to work for ourselves, right? We get to have our own business. We get to have a big impact on people. We get to help them grow their business, have a better business. And thus, when they do that, they have better lives, right? And I talk about that on every episode here on the show. We got to remember that we're having a big impact and we're making money in the process and doing what we get to do. So we'll have to have you back on and give us another update on how that launch goes later in the year. So anything we didn't talk about that you feel like we should?
So what is the most time someone has been on your podcast?
Are you trying
to? I feel like it's four.
Are you trying to break that? I'm pretty sure that honor goes to Tom Breeze, who is the YouTube ads expert. He's mm-hmm. been on four times. We talked about YouTube. We talked about the last time he was on, we talked about calculating ad spend. We didn't even talk about that. YouTube ads. We talked about, you know, how to calculate that stuff. I'm pretty sure that Tom is, and Tom's amazing. He's a good friend. I'm pretty sure he is the leader in that with four times.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Brandon Lucero is like three times maybe. Yeah. Are you looking to break that? Is that what your goal
is? I am. That's like the goal.
That's your good, better, and best. That's your best is like.
No, that's like four is like good because then I'm like tied. Better is five. And then six is like best. No one's passing me.
Gotcha. You told me as we wrap up here, you told me before you got a ton of outreach from my listeners. And guys, I just want to like just acknowledge you. Like I hear this from pretty much every guest I have here on the show of how amazing you guys are. I mean, whether it's reaching out just to thank them for being on the show or, you know, to acknowledge that the content that they were sharing was awesome. whether it's signing up for their email list, buying their stuff, whatever it might be. I hear from guests all the time that you guys are so amazing. I know that, but they're getting to see that. Brandy told me before we got recording here that you had a ton of outreach about your business and your ad services and all that stuff like that. Do you want people to connect with you now?
Yes.
You have a lot going on.
So if you're a service-based entrepreneur who wants to scale, I mean, I have a few ad managers now because they found me on your podcast. So that opens up in October. And then for ad services, I only do launches now. I'm not doing lead generation anymore. I'm like completely full. But if October, November, December, I still have some spots left for launches. So if you are launching and you've launched before, and you know your EPL, then come chat with me. And you can find me at brandyandcompany.com.
Brandyandcompany.com. I will link that up for everybody in the show notes for the episode here today. Brandy, thank you so much for coming back on the show. We'll see if we can get you to that point of being having the most number of guest appearances on the podcast. We'll see. You get another launch coming up in October. You can just crush your 120K. And then we'll have you back on to share how you did it. So thank you for coming back on. Appreciate it. Hey, if you're an online expert and you're looking for coaching, accountability, support, and community in taking your online business to the next level, then I want to invite you to apply for my next 6-month Accelerator Mastermind group, which kicks off in October, runs until March. And so when I say next level for your business, that might mean, you know, you're already doing well in your business. Maybe you're on the low end, you're doing 3 to 5,000 a month, and you want to take your business to 6 figures. Maybe you're at 6 figures and you want to take it to multiple 6 figures. Maybe you're already there and you want to take it to 7 figures. The Accelerator Mastermind is for you. And I want to invite you to apply. RickMulready.com/accelerator. RickMulready.com/accelerator. Also, one of my goals here at the podcast is to have as big an impact as possible. And one of the ways to increase visibility on platforms like Apple Podcasts and have a bigger impact is through the people who subscribe, you, and the ratings and reviews here for the show. You know this already. At the time recording this episode, we're at 558 five-star ratings and reviews. And my goal is to get to 750 five-star ratings and reviews by the end of Q3, which is September 30th. So that means 192 more by September 30th. We can totally do that. So here's what I'd love for you to do. After you subscribe to The Art of Paid Traffic here, leave a quick, honest rating review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts there and take a simple screenshot and then DM me that screenshot on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready. When we hit 750 ratings and reviews, I'm going to do a raffle of everyone who sent me their screenshot, and I'm going to give away a book bundle of my top 10 business and mindset books to a winner. Okay. I've shared my favorite business and mindset books here in the podcast, like late 2018, and I've actually added to it since then. So thank you so much for your support of the show. I super, super appreciate it. All right, my friends, coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your online marketing to find out what works for you and your business, then do more of what's working, right? I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.